Saw a nice story yesterday. I saw a nice story. The story goes like this. Hagon Reb Aaron Leib Steinman Zichroino Livrocha. Reb Steinman was shiven Baal HaMecha Ba'Eles HaShacha. How many years ago was he nifta now? Only about 3 years ago, something, 4 years ago. When was he nifta? Baal Leib Steinman? About 3 or 4 years ago. No? How long? Yeah, it was not a long time ago. So Aaron Leib Steinman, a fascinating personality. I was zoicha, and I'm so pleased that I was zoicha to go to his I'm sure he was awesome when he went to Bnei Brak. I went to his mincha a few times. I went to shurim a few times in his house. Very, very interesting. And what I'll never forget was the chairs. The chair. He had no comfort in his house. It was so. It was nothing there. It was like he didn't want to recline. He didn't want a chair with recline. He didn't want to recline on any chair. It was just like on a chair with that. Felt, this golos and this tzolos and kitaris, so he didn't want to overly enjoy himself. His mattress, I also won't forget, his mattress was like this. And he got it when he came as an immigrant in the 1940s, and he never replaced his mattress. It's unbelievable, like a thing like this. It was unbelievable. Anyway, so Aaron Leib Steinman Zichroino Livrocha. So, story goes like this. Aaron Leib, he was makbid out of the countless chumras. He had all the what we call the briska chumras, because he learned it. He had all the briska chumras plus many more chumras. He had a certain schnitt within the briska chumras. And it really came from Yirat Shamayim. I mean, it really came from genuine Yirat Shamayim. And Aaron Leib was makbid amongst his many chumras for Pesach. He wanted all the water to be prepared in advance, which is quite a distant chumra. He didn't have the water. He wouldn't use any tap water on Pesach. All the water should have been prepared before Pesach. It's big barrels and buckets of water, so that if there was any problems, it would be bottled before, whatever, all these cheshbonos. And it was makbid not to use any tap water throughout Pesach. All right, it was makbid for many years like that. One year, the calamity, a tragedy, his wife, the Rebbetzin, was in herself. She was Swiss, confined. She was very, very choshev tzaddikus. She wasn't tzaddikus because she was Swiss. I'm saying she was a tzaddikus anyway, and she by mistake used the tap water. This is when the Baal Leib was in his, I think, late 80s or perhaps early 90s. It was, and she used a bit of tap water. It was and she used for something, some cooking, some baking. I don't know what she used some, and she went to the Baal Leib and she said, crisis. I used a bit of tap water. What should I do? What should I do? What are we gonna do? And the Baal Leib straight to me and said, "Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It's chumah anyway. I'm not really makbid about this chumah anymore. I'm not really makbid about this chumah. Don't worry about it." And that was that. Next year, the subsequent year, and I think that's the most fascinating aspect. The next year, when she was about to, before Pesach, a couple of days before Pesach, Aaron Leib told his wife, "Do you remember all the years we had tap water? We were makbid to prepare the water in advance. I'm not makbid on this anymore. I've changed my mind a bit more lenient. Don't worry about it. We don't have to prepare the water anymore. It's fine. We can just use the tap water over Pesach." And he did that for a number of years. She was nifta a few years later. A handful of years later, she was nifta. She was nifta quite a few years before him. And the Pesach after her p'tira, he told his children, his grandchildren, as they were preparing the flat for Pesach and preparing, he said, can we please go back to preparing the water before Pesach? And that's what they did until, his last year. Which obviously shows us that, of course, he was makbid. Of course, he wanted to be machmir. But, he felt that he's going to hurt her feelings. She's going to feel devastated, and she's going to feel so, that she has used tap water instead of, she's going to feel very bad, very guilty about it. He didn't want to get, but the onus is that the next year, he was so consistent about it. Next year, again, he remembered, and he said, no, we're going to use tap water, it's totally fine. Until, when she was nifted, then he went back to his original chumrah. Which, the chumrah is based on, I just want to explore one more minute. I think what the goyness of that is, and that's such a difficult balance, we need such incredible set Yishmael for that, is the balance. On the one hand, you want to be machmir, and you want to take chumrahs upon yourself, and that's great, and it's brilliant, and it's amazing. But on the other hand, if it's on somebody else's cheshbon, you've got to be able to balance it out. It's an extremely difficult balance. When it's something in chumrah, when it's something maker, when you want to be machmir, when not. And he, for some reason, he was he had that balance. So it's unbelievable. It's really, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable story. Now, with regards to where does that come from, I don't exactly. What does it entail? To prepare the water in advance. There's plenty of people still do that. Yeah, bottles of water is fine. It's just fine. Absolutely.
But what about preparing food?
Yeah, so you don't use tap water. You should prepare. You use all bottled, because then there's a bittul already. Then you don't have a vatla on Pesach, but you know according to Shittas that you know. Okay, Rabbi said this is the anleib zechon livracha. Yeah, okay. Rabbi said we are continuing with Hilchas Tisha B'Av, and we are up to Simon, Tov, Kuf, Nun, Aleph, and Sif Aleph. Very interesting indeed. So, we spoke about the concept of not having, of decreasing Simcha on as the month of Av, Mishenichnas Av, we decrease Simcha. How does that translate in practical terms? What does it mean to decrease Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha? What does it mean? No, not yet. That's not how the Shulchan Aruch starts. It's jumping the gun. You're right, but we're not there yet. That's right. If you've got a court case with a goy, you postpone it. You push it off. Continues the Ramah, and he goes, and the reason being that we don't have great Siyat Nishmaya generally when it comes to the month of Av. Mila Sheim, and up to the Ramah. So that's the bottom of page 46. If a person is blessed and gebenched and privileged to make a bris between Rosh Chodesh and Tisha B'Av, in the 9 days he makes a bris. Anybody made a bris in the 9 days? I just missed it by a couple of days, twice. So, Mila Sheim Rosh Chodesh at Tisha B'Av, if somebody makes a bris Mila in the 9 days. So what's the halacha? Noyagin the Menegis, Shamoil Uval Bris. We know you can't wear Shabbos clothes or clean clothes in the 9 days. And more details will follow. So now really we're talking about the exception before we speak about the rule. So the rule will follow. But let's talk about exception first. I don't know why the Ramah goes like that. How do you normally feel about going to the exception before the rule? But that's what we're doing now. So it says, never mind about the rule, we're going to get there, Mitzvah Hashem. But now the exception. So if somebody's making a bris in the 9 days, you should know what you can do is the moel and the baal bris. Who's the baal bris? What's the baal bris? Oh. No, that's the next one, Avi Ben. Avi Ben is the next one. So Avi Ben, so the baal bris must be somebody else. Tzandik, indeed. Sandik is considered a real Baal Simcha as well. So you've got the Moel, the Sandik, and the father of the baby, Loev Shimbik, the Shabbos, they can wear Shabbos clothes. But otherwise, you may not wear clean clothes and Shabbos clothes in the 9 days. Mishnah Busif Kotten Gimel Val Bris, Hainu, that means, Oiso Shetoifas Atinuk, the one who holds the baby Al Birikov on his lap. Peshas Mila during the Bris Mila. Aval, but Hamachnis, to one who brings the baby in, Umoitzi takes the baby out, Hatinoik, Shekurin Kfata, which we call Kfata, yeah, which is also really part of the sound of course, but it's still a little bit lesser level. So the Kfata, Eina Bechlalze, is not included in that. So the Kfata may not wear Shabbos clothes, how about you say? In the Bris in the 9 days, literally the father of the baby, the Sandek, and the moil. So the kvata is not included in it. The lady who brings the baby, so she's also the female part of the ezos noshim of the kvata, that she wears big Shabbos, she's the ikim mitzvah, regards the ikim mitzvah. Haboy say, Avia Ben, does that include the mother? Is the mother allowed to wear, the mother of the baby, is she allowed to wear Shabbos clothes, yes or no? Mother of the baby. Does she wear? Sure. Siv Cotton Dalet, Ve'avia Ben, Ve'imai, and the mother as well. I would like to point out, I do not know if this is a diuk or not. I don't know. There is a bit of a machloikis haminogim. I don't know if what your minig is. I don't know if you made Bristol and what your experience is and what you annoying. There is a bit of an old shaila about women attending mothers attending their own baby's bris. Once in Eretz Yisrael, it's unheard of to miss the bris. In Chutz La'aretz, there is a bit of a, I don't know if I'm going to call it a minhag, but it is quite common that the mothers, literally, obviously a week after they gave birth, it is quite common that they did not attend the bris of their own baby's bris. For the Suda, perhaps they would join, perhaps not, but the actual bris, they often wouldn't attend. So much so that when I spoke to my mother-in-law about this, she said when she had her children and she gave, you know, so it was unheard of. I don't know what your parents were. It was unheard of in the 1950s, 1960s. It was unheard of for mothers to attend their baby's bris. I don't know what you. So I think that when I investigated a little bit, what I heard, it was because it's a bit hard just after giving birth to attend something which is both emotionally and physically draining to some extent. I don't know if that's the right way of looking at it, but you know, first of all, the fact was that until recently mothers were in bed for a week after birth. And 2 weeks out, they didn't get out. Like, you know, they were in hospital for a week or two. Never mind, you know, getting out of the house. No, is that not?
Yeah.
Yeah?
The norm was that they were kept in hospital for 2 weeks.
Exactly, right. So it goes without saying. Absolutely, that's what I heard as well. So it goes without saying that they wouldn't. It was absolutely common, and therefore it goes without saying that they wouldn't attend the bris. They would simply stay in hospital for 2 weeks, and after a month afterwards they would stay at home, and then slowly they would. You see them on the postkind all the time. That was very, very normal. I think it's fairly recent that I don't know what you heard from your parents, grandparents. I don't know what do you. Right. Yeah. Okay. That
should be on hand.
Okay. Fine. Yes. You should take. All right. But it's normally not that far from home. Whatever. So the baby will often. And I think what happened was it would often usher take the baby straight home, and that's where they would stay. So I don't know what your Lemaisa, I do not know, but I once felt that this Mishnah over here may. I don't know if it's a diuk or not. I may be completely wrong. What do you think about this Mishnah of cotton dye? We're talking about wearing Shabbos clothes by a bris in the 9 days. So the Ramah says, father's allowed to wear Shabbos clothes. Mishnah Berurah wakes up and says, hey, the mother also. So it could be there's an effeminate, for the feminists of us, it's a very good proof that, you know, equal rights and everything's very good. But I'm saying, I don't know, because I always thought that the mothers were not around. So I was all wondering, in the 1920s, did the mothers actually attend the bris, yes or no? Looks like the Mishnah Berurah says, yes, they were wearing Shabbos clothes. So it must be, there is an element of them attending. Vetzorichin, I don't know. Yeah, but if she's in bed, she doesn't need to wear Shabbos clothes. So that's just a historical question. I'm not sure. But let me ask that's a... Absolutely. Correct. There's an element of the mitzvah which is on her. But yeah, only... Yeah. Okay, Rabbi said, this is with regards to Shabbos clothes in the 9 days. So we've got the father is allowed, the mother is allowed, but the sandig is allowed and the moil is allowed, which is interesting. What about the grandfather? Is he allowed to wear Shabbos clothes? Grandfather? Suppose so. He doesn't say, right? I also think he's allowed. Okay. No, that would be explicitly also. Is it even the kfata is not allowed? So. Doesn't sound well out. Doesn't sound. It says v'lavo chiloi. Continues the Ramah. V'afilu b'Shabbos shel Chazon. That's an interesting topic. Now we're going into the discussion of Shabbos Chazon. Shabbos Chazon. Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. By definition, what is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av? Shabbos clothes in Shabbos Chazon. V'afilu b'Shabbos shel Chazon. Ein machlif in lilbo shpik to Shabbos. Again, this is all based on the assumption that we know that you're not allowed to wear Shabbos clothes and fresh clothes in the 9 days. Assuming we know that, the question is going to be, all right, I understand on Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm not allowed to wear fresh clothes. I know I'm not allowed to wear Shabbos clothes in the middle of the week. But what about Shabbos Chazon? On Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, can I wear or can I not wear Shabbos clothes? He says, afilu b'Shabbos shel Chazon, ein machlif and lilbo shpik to Shabbos. You may not wear Shabbos clothes. Ki makusonis levat, only the shirt may be changed. So you can wear a fresh shirt, but you can't wear anything else. And the Mishnah qualifies that further. If people have a Shabbos talis and a weekday talis, you've got a Shabbos talis, I'll both say. You've got a Shabbos talis. Looks like there's nothing to have a Shabbos talis. If you've got a Shabbos talis, you may not wear it, says the Ramah, on Shabbos Chazoin. Is this the common minig or not? Says the Mishnah Berurah. The reason why everybody allows changing shirts is because shirt gets, you schwitz and you need to change it. So you're allowed to wear a shirt for Shabbos Chazoin, fresh shirt. The socks may also be changed. That's even if Shabbos falls on Tisha B'Av, and it's really literally a Tisha B'Av. Nevertheless, you're allowed to change all the clothing which need to be replaced regularly. Uvekilas Kodesh Vilna. Now comes the Mishnah Berurah with an atomic bomb. Uvekilas Kodesh Vilna. Noegin al piagro. In Vilna, the minhag is based on the Vilna Gaon. Lil boish speak the Shabbos to know. Contrary to what the Ramah says, you are allowed to wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazoin. V'yesh meshanim beket echot, some change one piece of garment. V'chein kos Rabbi Yaakov Emden b'shem Ovi v'agon. Rabbi Yaakov Emden also writes that in the name of the Chamtzvi Shtoch Lilboish beket Shabbos afilu b'Shabbos Chol B'Tishba. He says, you can't wear Shabbos clothes. I believe nowadays Tovshin Pei Aleph. I believe this is, I don't know, what's your minhag about that? Do you wear Shabbos clothes? Do you wear Shabbos suit? Or on Shabbos Chazon or not? What's the minhag? Shabbos suit? Shabbos hat? Shabbos suit? Yes, so yeah. So the emes is, those of us who have been to Yekish shuls, the real old-fashioned Yekish shuls, it is very noticeable that nobody's going to change the Shabbos clothes. We'll see how people go with their, slightly bluish shirts and with their weekday hats and with their weekday ties and with their weekday shoes. That's how they're going to go on Shabbos Chazoin. That's how they're going to go Shabbos Chazoin. But it is true that nowadays this is quite a rare minhag. I do not know, and I wonder what the Anglo-Saxon monks indeed. I don't know what monks is that nowadays. I don't know, but that's certainly the proper Yekish minhag is certainly that they wear their weekday clothes on Shabbos Chazoin. I do not know what the Anglo... Pardon?
I heard there was one
baguette.
I think the trousers were
pinstripe. That's the... Yeah, it could be. What about the Anglo... I don't know, the United Synagogue minhag. I don't know. What about those English shuls who are makbid on their... They often have got very old and very... Very strong minhag. Anybody knows? I don't know what's the English. I wonder.
I've never known anything different.
So I suppose if that's the case, and I suppose they wear Shabbos. Precisely, that is the reason that you're pointing out. Ochulchan says, why is it really okay to wear Shabbos clothes? Why is it okay to wear Shabbos clothes? We are in the 9 days after all. What's the reason? This is the 9 days. On Tuesday you can't change. On Wednesday you can't change. On Thursday, why on Shabbos can you wear Shabbos? Why is that so? And the answer is, says Shulchan, explaining the Vilna Gaon's minhag, is because with the Zaloch, you're not allowed to show avelus in public. A mourner may not display his mourning state in public. Therefore, the halacha is according to that's why the Vilna Gaon says you're allowed to wear. Maybe Jonathan knows. Jonathan, are you aware of the British minhag on Shabbos Chazoin?
I'm not sure.
Right.
Stephen,
are you on?
I'm on.
Stephen, do you recall the minhag on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av? Do you know what the official minhag is and what most people do? Will people wear their Shabbos clothes or their weekday clothes in the United Synagogue shuls?
I've no idea. I won't be able to tell the difference anyway. How do I know it's a weekday suit or not a weekday suit in a Shabbos suit?
Oh, I see.
My brother does at Monks. I'll ask, in Monks you say they don't wear the Shabbos?
I wonder what it's like nowadays. Yeah, please let us know. Ask your brother. Right. Yeah, so, but if you look into the minute books of the old Yekishuls, was certainly. So the Vilna Gaon is. And I want to point out, this is one of those cases that we've got a Vilna, we've got a clear, explicit Ramah. The Ramah says you don't change for Shabbat. And says the Mishneh Berurah, no, we do. So this is. If you're making a list of the Mishneh Berurah disagreeing with a Ramah, which is like historically I'm not going to say controversial, but it is in Hilchas Psak, this is quite striking. Yeah, you've got the Ramah, you know, and 400 years later, we've got an Achen who disagrees, quoting a Vilna Gaon's Minhag, disagreeing with something which was many centuries before him. He's quite radical, but here we've got an example for that. And it's interesting also, the Minhag Chassidim is interesting, because certainly that doesn't come from the Vilna Gaon. And normally the Chassidim have got very stark Minhagim. So I wonder how that developed. I wonder. It's interesting. Everybody, they all wear their. I know in 69, which is more the Oberlin Shemilogim in Stamford Hill, they wear weekday clothes, or they used to wear weekday clothes. I don't know if nowadays. Chassidim, they wear. Yeah. So I wonder how that historically developed. Okay, that's interesting. Good. There are people, I think that's a nice minute. If somebody wants to be Mekayim the Ramah to some extent, there are people who will ensure to wear one little bit of weekday shoes, which are okay for Shabbos, or weekday ties, which are okay for, you know, you can get away with it. Or you've got different shirts on Shabbos and weekdays, and you're going to wear a weekday shirt to show a bit of something, which is a little bit of display of, it doesn't show Avelus, but Vahese, but you're still recognizing the Ramah. I think that's a good show, I think that.
What's the norm, says someone in their Shiva week, come Shabbos? What would he be allowed to wear? Normal
Yeah, because that would be a display of Avelus Befahesia. He's not allowed to display publicly.
But Rabbi.
Yeah, so that's, you're right. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Yes, Stephen, yeah.
On Shabbos and Ovel, right?
Yes.
He wears Shabbos clothes. I thought on Shabbos you're not meant to display any signs of mourning, even before Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's so.
Why can't you wear Shabbos clothes?
Absolutely, you're really explaining the opinion of the Vilna Gaon and the opinion of the Mishneh Berurah. To explain what the Ramah understood, I do not know. I thought once that the Ramah thought that since everybody's doing that, so it's not, there's nothing wrong with displaying public avelus if everybody's doing it.
So you find something in the animals, like, for example, meat.
Yeah. Like that, exactly. Yeah.
Where we do apply this color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, Rabbi, so it's a bit of an interesting. I want to just finish off the Ramav Aval Poyosin Poreches Sol Shabbos. Interesting as well. The Poreches, the curtain which we have in front of the shul, so that the weekday one and the Shabbos one used to be different. So you got one Poreches for weekday, one Poreches for Shabbos. Do you know shuls who still do that?
No.
Yeah, I do. Some Yekki shuls do that. Yeah, in Switzerland, yeah, it was brought up, yeah. Yeah, they do it. Yeah, they've got one poiches for every, it's not a change, you just put it in a different thing, whatever, yeah. Yeah, you only make the mistake of putting the wrong one, you only make that mistake once. You only make it once. So, and then of course, Yom Nerem, we've got a different one, and Shalosh Regalim, again a different one. Okay, so he said, I will put in poiches on Shabbos, but you put the Shabbos one, you can't put the Shabbos poiches on, unless Tisha B'Av falls on actual Shabbos and the fasting is postponed for Sunday, then you won't have on Tisha B'Av itself, which is on Shabbos, you're not going to have the Shabbos poiches. Yeah, that's not, no. But regularly, normal Shabbos Chazon, no worries about it. You can just have the Shabbos Poreches. Isn't that interesting how the Ramah is concerned about the Poreches? I think that's so beautiful. The Ramah has got a whole halacha about, you know, what Poreches, yeah, it just shows how precious the Minogim are. Going back to clothing on Shabbos Chazon, if it's your Shabbos Shabbos Poreches, yeah, then it's all right. Then you can wear your Shabbos clothes. So again, if you got married, and this is your Shabbos, Misha Eshlo Nisun, Shabbos Nachamu. If this is if the Shabbos Oifuf, not Shabbos, it can't be Shabbos Shabbos, right? If it's a Shabbos Oifuf, then in other words, you're going to get married in the next few days, and this is the last Shabbos as a single, so Shabbos Oifuf, then you can wear your Shabbos clothes I suppose to make a good impression, I suppose, you know, yeah. So that'd be all right. I'm going to little bit speak to Shabbos and Shabbos al-Chazoin. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, so to summarize what we learned this evening. So we spoke about the Bris Mila, in which is an exception in terms of what you're allowed to wear. So the sandik, the moil, and the baby's father is allowed to wear Shabbos clothes, and the mother as well. The Shabbos Chazon, we said, the Ramah says you're not allowed to change anything besides shirts and socks, according to the underwear, I suppose, according to Mishnah. The Mishnah disagrees with the actual Ramah, and he brings that the minig in Vilna was based on the Vilna Gaon, that when he's allowed to change everything in honor of Shabbos, with regards to the Pareuchas, he says Pareuchas, you can have on Shabbos Chazon, you can have a Shabbos Pareuchas, except if it's Tisha B'Av on the actual Shabbos, then you take the Shabbos Pareuchas out. Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.